for the players.
I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And this is For the Players, the pop culturist position podcast over 40 years of playing PlayStation and, I don't know, a lot more than that. So 50 years playing PlayStation and, like, I don't know, 15 years playing games meeting behind. I thank you for joining us in this PlayStation conversation.
This PlayStation conversation happens every Tuesday morning on podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTubes. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials, Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
If you want to join the conversation as it happens, head over to twitch.tv/popculturist. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this PlayStation pod. If you're listening to us as a podcast service, be sure to give us a 5-star rating. And a written review, which on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment below. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can at patreon.com/thepopculturists. Oh, man, what a long weekend. See, it's lovely that we've shifted from, like, Sundays to Mondays for recording. However, on a long weekend like today, in my head, I'm like, oh, it's only Sunday. And then suddenly we have to record the show, and it's all chaos, all switched around, Mac. It's different.
Yep.
How's your long weekend been for you?
Yeah, not too bad. I took Saturday off and went and hung out with friends and played board games. And
I mean your Friday night shift, you mean?
Oh, no. I'm from my life and children.
Oh, okay, good. I was going to say, like, I'm like, we're fucking doing work on the weekend. But yes, you escaped from your family.
Took the day off and went and hung out with some friends and played some board games and... Mm. Had a barbecue and stuff. It was good.
That sounds lovely.
And then, yeah, today, just like I thought it was Sunday still, and...
It's rough. It throws you out.
Yeah, it was our friend's birthday yesterday, so we went and had lunch down at Torquay with them, which was nice. It took us, 45 minutes to drive down there, get food, find a park, 20 minutes to eat, and then we all left. So that was... Unsure if it was worthwhile, but you know.
Well, you got outside the house. Like that's
we had to,
that's a good thing.
Grocery shopping anyway, so we just did that while we're out and about, so that was fine. But yeah, it's kind of just chill. What about yourself? How was your long weekend?
My long weekend was pretty swell. It was an extra long weekend in that on Friday or earlier in the week, my boss, we had our general team meeting, and my boss goes, "So everyone want like Friday off as leave to get an extra long weekend?" Yes.
What's the catch?
I was like, I don't give a flying fuck. I'm going to say yes and go from there. So I got Friday off, which was lovely. So my partner, Phoebe, she still had her day at work. So it was one of the first days I've kind of had like by myself. Like, yeah, I work from home. I don't really go anywhere. So as a result, I spend most of my days by myself. But it's different in that I work with purpose, right? Like, I'm at home. I'm not really by myself. But, like, yeah, Friday was great. I got to do exactly what I wanted to do. I still woke up a little bit around my normal time, a little bit later. Just kind of fucked around the house. Just did, did a couple things. I'm pretty sure I ended up playing games for most of the day, which was lovely. I'm a big fan of that. I enjoyed that. Smashed some more time with Kingdom Come. But we can't talk about that game. You can't jump into that part of what we've been playing. So let's get into the section of what we have been playing. Now, taking advantage of a long weekend, today I spent near on the entire day with good friend of the show, Craig O'Flaherty. Together, he and I played Fast Food Shop Simulator, whatever it was. Either way, it's a simulator game where you run a burger joint and you gotta like do it. It's right up my bullshit in that it's a simulator that is hard in that it's a lot of repetitive tasks. However, it's not so hard. There's no cleaning or anything. There's no that stuff. It's just make the burger with the ingredients, get it out as quick as you can, blah, 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 blah. So as I said, we spent all day playing it today, got up to level 15, and that's when Fries and the drive-thru opened up, Max. That's when the game took its next level of intensity.
I'm sorry, you had to get to level, what would you say, 16 to get Fries? 15,
that's right. Yeah, you started as the most plain-ass burgers you've ever seen. Just bread and buns. It's just like perfect for those on the spectrum. Spectrum burgers. And then we were able to integrate lettuce and tomato sauce and mayo, and we got a bit there and the other. But yeah, we were able to get to 15. Drive-thru really ramped it up. Fries didn't really impact too much apart from like cooking time. But by then, we've unlocked a bunch of different condiments, and as a whole thing, it was crazy. Mute in the chat jumps in and goes, I think I've seen friends play that one. Yeah, and the entire reason that I wanted to check it out is because I'm not someone that plays a lot of multiplayer games in general. I just really don't. However, this looked like my kind of dumb. Craig hadn't, he and I hadn't played a game together in a while, and this seemed like one that we could easily, you know, switch our minds off, each be given our separate little tasks, and we'll go on and do it. And we kind of did. It worked really well until we're like, we've played this for a long time. We should probably chill out. But for a game that's just come out of early access, it is quite interesting. However, there is really no main push for like direction or upgradability outside of just adding more levels, providing more condiments, building more burgers that align with that. That's kind of it. You know, there's no storyline, there's no supplementary goals. It's just you can now make burgers with onion. You're okay, cool. You buy it, bring it in, and then you go, right, whatever. And that's kind of it. Like, it's missing that next thing. Because even something like Gas Station Simulator, which has all those repetitious tasks, it has the basic progressions of, oh, you open up the mechanics, or, oh, you can now sell a different, you know, fucking bullshit. But there was still a story within it. This game is missing that. However, at least at the time of play, from the banner when you boot the game up, it is still in early access. There is still time for it to change and grow. But I enjoyed it for exactly what it was. Just a little bit of silly. Yeah. And what I liked about it in the... Can we... Max, did you ever jump in with like that Lethal Company or anything like that?
No,
okay. Well, like the last couple of multiplayer games that I've tried to play with Craig, because Craig's not very confident within a twitchy first-person shooter space. It's just not...
What happened to your playthrough of Baldur's Gate 3?
Oh, we just got distracted and sort of wandered off. But that is absolutely something that we should and could return to.
I mean, now that there's mod support on PlayStation, you can give Withers some boobies.
Ooh.
I don't know why.
But yeah, we could go back to that, and that's certainly on the options because Phoebe was keen to.
Play, I'd totally come join.
Oh.
I'd roll a new character.
Oh, shit, that is tempting. All right, maybe. Excuse me. But look, granted, like that's cool. That was really, really fun. Of course, we continued with our usual weekly nonsense, being WWE 2K24 GM mode. I am now proudly the champion after dethroning Phoebe at WWE Payback. No, Fastlane. I think it was Fastlane. At WWE Fastlane, which was great. So now I'm the world heavyweight champion until next week, until the next pay-per-view, which I'm sure someone will beat me for it. But wait and see. With WWE 2K25, 25's big announcement around the corner, I imagine by, yeah, literally tomorrow. Tomorrow, as of WWE Raw, it will do that. But we'll have more information about it at large, which I'm very excited for. It looks like they're really focusing on the universe mode as well as their showcase. Pardon me, two areas I don't really mess with personally. Wait for the GM mode. We'll wait. Excuse me. But we'll wait and see. What about yourself, Max? What have you been playing this?
I have been playing a lot more Kingdom Come Deliverance 2.
Me like too. Yourself. But as you know, we can't talk about that just yet. When's the review embargo for that? Do you remember?
Fourth, I think.
Fourth Third? March? Feb.
Not March. Definitely not March.
Yeah, it's not Feb yet. In my head, it was already Feb.
New.
It comes out in the 4th, I think. It's probably the 3rd, 4th.
I've been back on that League of Legends grind because they bought back my favorite game, my rotating game mode of Ultra Rapid Fire.
Mm-hmm.
So essentially, they just go, hey, you have unlimited mana and all abilities have 80% cooldown reduction. Go have fun.
Ow. Okay.
So it's just a hot mess of but they're really quick games. So instead of the usual 20 minute before you can forfeit, you now forfeit at 10 minutes if you're just getting stomped.
Mm.
And most games only last 15 to 20 minutes in total, so it's a very quick in and out.
Okay.
And then obviously more PoE 2. Just still chugging along on that. I kind of hit a brick wall at the moment. I'm kind of stuck in the position that I'm at until I get some juicy RNG goodness and get some better gear and equipment. But other than that, it's been pretty chill.
The only other thing that I've jumped on outside of that is Outer Worlds. With Outer Worlds 2 coming around the corner, with it being held by made by Obsidian, now part of Microsoft, I did download on here on this very PC to, you know, play with it with a mouse and keyboard. The game is brilliant. Like, it's really, really fun. So I'm through Edgewater already. Going into that first ship you go to, the one that's like that, like trading, independent, whatever. So yeah, digging about in there, which is fun. Of course, like I do every time I play, I just kind of cleared the area, did all the missions, whichever. Now, when you played Outer Worlds, yeah?
Yeah, I dabbled.
Yeah, what was the moral choice that you made? Did you route the energy to the town of Edgewater or to the people that have left?
I don't recall. I think I routed it to the town.
Nice. Yeah, I tried to do the best. Like I said, that's quite a strong moral dilemma to kick the game in. I think I only
did it to actually have access to most of the buildings that were locked because they had no power.
Yeah, I think so.
So I just wanted to rob everything. So, like, morally good that the people have power, but morally bad because I realistically only picked it so it would help me out.
So I made the choice of, so the woman that's running the escapee place, she has worked out using dead bodies to refertilize the soil and be able to grow food again, where apparently it's been hasn't for so long. Everyone's surviving on the salt tuna, but the salt tuna is not even tuna or salt tuna. It's a bunch of other bullshit. So when I found that out, I was like, nah, fuck this noise. So instead, I routed the power back to Edgewater and then went in, yelled at the mayor and went, you get the fuck out. And he did. And then the woman from there became mayor. And then now, yeah. So I kind of did the better choice with the better result. And that I kind of saved everybody. I was thought of a way to manipulate it to try to save everybody because I felt bad in the other ways. And seeing as people are dying from the plague, like from the salt tuna, like there's going to be heaps of bodies to just fucking keep supporting food. So, yeah, good times. Good game, though. Very excited for number 2. Should be interesting. All right, Max, let's get into this section we call Inform the Players. We tell you about what happened this week in PlayStation.
So maybe it's not cancelled after all.
What is it?
So last week we spoke about the state of the live service games of PlayStation. And it was rumored that NCSoft's unannounced Horizon MMO was cancelled, but it may not have been cancelled after all. In an email shared on a forum, RulerWeb, reporter Xiao Zhongguan told a reader that the cancelled Project H mentioned in this article had, quote, nothing to do with Horizon. This is where the story gets confusing. NCSoft job resumes have referenced a game called Project Skyline, which shares the same font as Horizon's logo. This was previously known as Project H. It appears, however, that the Project H, which has been cancelled, is not the Project Skyline, meaning the rumored Horizon MMO may still be alive. Of course, none of this changes the fact that NCSoft is currently going through a difficult time and may have realigned its priorities anyway.
I'll leave that with you. What's your thoughts on this initially?
It's a confusing hot mess. If it gets cancelled, it gets cancelled.
Yeah, look,
we'll join the majority of the rest of them that have been cancelled and will never see the light of day.
Yeah, well, there's certainly that. But like as we were discussing last week, like this is the most viable potential live service that the team has worked on. So it would be disappointing if it were to be cancelled at presumably this late stage, but I think once again, we're in that predicament where the conversation of has it been cancelled is as possible as it hasn't been cancelled, which makes it very interesting because it's like, oh, well, both options are believable, really.
Yep.
So I guess the other question here, though, Max, is they mention, you know, it has been previously known as Project H. They're saying the game has not been cancelled. What is it? What if the likelihood is just no longer with NCSoft anymore? Is that possible?
I mean, maybe, but it's not like a PlayStation studio knows how to make an MMO.
Correct. And NCSoft are kind of the best place to go to for something like that, really. So do you think this, where is this rumor stem from then?
Who knows?
Solely on that everything else got cans? Everyone's like, yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like NCSoft is like on the verge of like being completely fucked.
Yeah, not doing well.
So, yeah, it's one of those things.
But look, speaking of not doing well, we're ripping through on it tonight. It's not going to be a very long show, I don't think.
No, there's really not much news as well.
So you cut off one head and three more will take its place, says not the Hydra. Ted Price, the founder of Sony's first-party developer Insomniac Games, has this week announced that he'll be retiring from the studio. Having formed the developer in 1994, which was then under the name Extreme Games with an X, Extreme Software, he has helped create Spyro the Dragon, Ratchet & Clank, and the Resistance franchises. It's announced in a PlayStation blog post that he'll be replaced by three new studio co-heads in March. They are Ryan Schneider, Jen Huang, and Chad Dezern. In the jointly written blog post, the three said, quote, "Sharing the news that Ted is retiring from Insomniac Games is still just as emotional to type as it is to have as it has been to think about. The three of us, Chad, Jen, and Ryan, have worked closely with Ted for many years. He's not just our leader, but he's our longtime friend and a great one at that. So Ted will be missed for so many reasons." They also add, "A shared intention is to preserve what has made Insomniac special for 30-plus years while exploring how we can strategically evolve to succeed for decades to come. We'll continue prioritizing our studio culture built around transparency and collaboration, and we strive for a workplace where employees can do the best work of their careers." In a separate article, Ted Price explained that he made the decision to retire from the games industry last year and made the announcement to employees last week. He goes on to say that Insomniac needs leaders at the, quote, "top of who are intimately familiar with how we do things," end quote, and that Schneider, Huang, and Dezern are those people, quote, "For many years, Chad, Jen, and Ryan have been instrumental in making Insomniac what we are today. I've seen each lead major initiatives here which have positively changed Insomniac's lives. Plus, they're constantly demonstrated the kind of collaboration and transparency that's part of our DNA, and just as important, their skill sets are truly complementary." Max, in the same way that currently Worldwide Studios and PlayStation at large are being shared under the hands of two CEOs, which is already quite unlikely, three, that's even worse. Uncommon. Worse is a bit of assumption. What's your thoughts?
What's that old saying? Too many chefs spoil the broth. Mm-hmm. Hopefully that's not the case.
Yeah.
There's that whole two heads are better than one, but at the same time, it's like, yeah. I mean, these people have obviously worked together for a very long period of time. It's not like they've just picked three random people who are like, hey, you are now in charge.
Yeah.
So that is promising. I think Insomniac's foundations are pretty rock solid anyway. And as long as they continue the trajectory they've been on for the last X amount of years, they should be fine. Mm. They've obviously already got a lot of stuff in the pipe work. We know of a fair bit thanks to the big leak, what was it, 2 years ago now? So for at least the foreseeable future, they have a direction. So it's not like we're going to see a major change anytime soon, if that was even the case.
Yeah, and look, I'm in the same boat as you. Like, yeah, we know what the path is ahead, which helps. However, I think that 3 should be better than 2, in that every decision can be put up to a vote in, like, if they want a truly democratic process. But all that does is lead the potential for 2 people to gang up on a third, or, you know, 3 complete non-decisions, where, yeah, you know, as a CEO, like, you need to be, like, the point, you know, you are the buck stops with you, you're the guy or girl or whomever. So, like, that is normally how business is done. And I guess I'm curious to see how it would be done with 3, because if it works, then sweet. You know, Insomniac have been releasing games in almost like an old PS2, PS3 cadence as of late. And I do believe that that's been done through strong management and strong support. However, obviously, Ted Price, you know, 1994, 30 years is a long time within any industry. So unlike Jim Ryan, which, as we're starting to learn, it appears that he left possibly not within the best reasons, as his live service initiative has seemed to suck butts. Ted Price, as far as I'm aware, there's no major concerns, nothing troubling that would have this be a concern outside of just announcing it at the not best time. Yeah, it's kind of how I would say it. Reverend Park jumps in the chat and goes, 2 more CEOs and they could form a CEO Voltron. That is a good thing to consider. Naughty Dog still run by 2 folk in it, or is it just Druckmann? Oh no, because Straley left, so it's just Druckmann. Well, there you go. It's a tough one. I, not knowing about all the internal machinations of Insomniac, you would assume it's the incorrect. Like, it's an interesting choice, but a decision like this wouldn't be done lightly, right? Like, these guys are businesses. They've been businesses for 30 years. They have an understanding of what is standard business practice, etc. So to then step outside of that, knowingly going into a 3-part CEO role, you'd think they would have thought about it in some capacity. With PlayStation, they've separated into hardware and software, so it makes sense. But from a development studio standpoint, what would each of them do, Max?
What was that, sorry?
What do you think each of them would do?
It depends. I mean, if there's 2 teams inside of Insomniac, they'll take 1 each, and then 1 will just go to where more work is needed. Who knows?
Potentially. Makes sense.
Depends on what their roles were to begin with.
Mm.
Are they purely just managerial staff that kind of oversee things, or are they also directors or developers, or what's their niche that they did beforehand?
Mm.
Or are they purely there to
now? Good Google could tell us that.
And 6 eyes are better than 2.
Yeah, in theory. do we Google search this?
I can if you want. What are their names again?
All right, I'll go Ryan Schneider. Let's see. Ryan Schneider, Insomniac. So, he was head of franchise strategy and studio relations. Does that make sense?
Chad DeZern is an artist for Insomniac Games.
Okay. And Gene Huang of Insomniac Games.
Yeah, he's the chief creative officer.
He was CFO and head of finance.
Yeah.
Okay.
So they just bumped all the three, all instead of just
the 3 major leaders just got all pushed up to the top.
They all just got pushed to the top.
Ah, I could work with that, I suppose.
That makes sense.
That's not all horrible. All right, quick bits.
Yeah, crazy quick bits. I'm going to pull one up that I forgot to add. So PlayStation Plus subscriptions are currently on sale, up to 35% off depending on which tier you buy it for. However, this sale only shows up if you do not have your PlayStation Plus set to auto-renew. This offer just doesn't appear in the store if your auto-renew is set to on.
Intriguing.
Which seems a bit underhanded.
That's a bit.
Next up, Kingdom Come Deliverance 2 has released its roadmap showing 3 post-launch DLC for the next 3 seasons.
Well, after both you and I are feeling quite positive out of our preview experience, more DLC sounds like a good thing to me.
Civ 7 has gone gold.
Which gets excited for you.
Gets excited for me. Balatro has hit 5 million sales.
That's good for Balatro and great for us.
A little indie that could. Doom, Dark Ages, and Clair Obscura will be PS5 Pro enhanced.
Yes, yeah, so outside of the Microsoft Direct that came through this week, we did get a nice gameplay sizzle reel for Doom, the Dark Ages, alongside the date of May something 16th, I think, as well as the announcement show off of like the collector's edition, which is a big 12-inch statue of the Doom Slayer. Let's get 12 inches of Doom up here. It looks pretty good. I did contemplate putting a pre-order down, but remember that it's $400 and where the fuck I'm going to put a statue. So playing it smart, right? It's a good way to go about it. Did you get positively sizzled?
Not really. Doom has never really done it for me. I don't think I've played any of the new Dooms through to fruition. And, you know, like, I've kind of just been like, eh. They're fine. I understand that why people enjoy them. They're just not really for me.
That's fair.
But the last one is hilarious. I'm just going to pull it up on my phone because it's a bit easier. But the EA stock has plummeted after poor reception for Dragon Age, Dreadwolf, or whatever the...
Veilguard.
Changed to the Veilguard, didn't it?
And
FC 25.
So I did see somewhere like potentially the numbers for Vanguard, Veilguard were really poo.
Well, they're not doing any more updates. The update that they pushed this week, that's it. They're done.
Wow.
They're done
with it. So yeah, that tells you didn't do well.
According to Tom Henderson, the EA stock dropped 17%. That's roughly around $6 billion or nearly 4 Ubisofts.
Wow. Holy shit.
In a single day.
For Ubisoft. Well, look, Ubisoft is worth less than it's ever have been, but that's pretty fucked.
Yeah. Imagine losing 4 Ubisofts worth of Dollaritos in a single fucking day.
Brutal. Fucking brutal.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. We finished showing like half an hour this week, Max.
Is there anything else that's kind of like, I will bring up, there was an interview with Phil O'Spencer earlier this week.
Is it the one with
where he's like, "Hey,
Destiny all our Gary? Shit."
Yeah, he's like, "All our shit's probably coming everywhere now."
I did see a clip from that where Destin was like, "So, you know, is there a fence around Starfield? Is Starfield not going to?" And he's like,
"The quote is, can you solidify that Starfield is staying put for the time being?" And Spencer replied with, "No."
Yeah, because that's going to happen.
There is no reason for me to put a ring fence around any game and say this game will not go to a place that it would find players where it would have business success for us. What we find is we're able to drive a better business that allows us to invest in great game lineup like you saw during our developer direct. Our strategy is to allow our games to be available, but to keep games off other platforms, that's not the path for us. It doesn't work for us.
Wow.
That's because you don't have a platform to play your own games on. So if you don't sell them elsewhere.
Well, if everything's an Xbox, nothing's an Xbox. So.
Yeah.
Okay. I know this is kind of, we're ready to wrap things up, but.
No. Have a chat about this.
Do you believe like this is the end times, right? This is the end of the console war as we know it.
Yeah. Microsoft is now a software business.
Well, they have been in their entire life, but. They've really like ramped that up because I think last I saw today the sell through numbers of PS5 is like 5 to 1 for an Xbox. Yeah. So every five PS5s there's maybe one Xbox.
Yeah.
What do you see? But when you look at this,
it's rough for them, and obviously to keep themselves afloat, it makes like business fungible business sense to be like, hey, our games can go everywhere. Like $100, $100.
Or the idea is that then they get everyone through Game Pass, and then any supplementary is...
Well, I mean, Game Pass is never coming to any other platform but PC, and I mean, they may be able to sweet talk Nintendo into it, but there's no way Game Pass is ever appearing on a PlayStation console.
No, like they'll be lucky to get it on like smart TV apps or something, which I think can be done in some spaces or some brands or some regions.
Yeah.
But no, you're absolutely bang on. No chance. But it does. It does feel interesting. Like, granted, now we lived through the time of, you know, Nintendo and Sega, and then Sega being the losing space, and we lived through that. Yeah. We didn't experience it the same way we're experiencing it now.
The Dreamcast really fucked Sega hard. I guess that's what happens when you release hardware that can play burn software straight off the get go.
Out of the box, you know? Yeah, it's pretty impressive. Well, PSP did it, and very successful handheld, but.
Because it was. Everyone bought it for the hardware, not for the software.
Absolutely. So, yeah, it is interesting, I guess, we're seeing the end of a console war in action as right in front of us. And, you know, even though for the nature of what we do and what we enjoy, like, we are on the winner, quote unquote, I don't really feel like we've won.
Yeah, as consumers, I think everyone loses, right?
Yeah. Like, Monopoly is the key. Game Pass ain't it. Like, I'm enjoying Game Pass because I obviously get to play Call of Duty. I'm playing Outer Worlds. And I downloaded the new Ninja Gaiden, threw it on my PC. But
it's not the same. Competition breeds... What's the...
Yeah, innovation. Ingenuity? Yeah, competition breeds innovation. Yeah.
Ingenuity. Wrong...
I'm sure it does that as well.
Wrong word. But yeah, it's just one of those things.
Oh, Max, Max is sending me Metacritic links to some very powerful games, including Hentai Shop Simulator, which I did see. It is on the PlayStation Store as we speak. And I went, "What the fuck?" And I kept going.
Why? Okay, so there's no list of games coming out this week, but I have a list thanks to Metacritic, which I very much appreciate. So this week we have Tales of Iron 2, Whiskers of Winter coming to PS5 and PS4 January 28th. We have Sniper Elite Resistance coming to PS5, PS4 January 30th. We have Spider-Man 2 coming to PC January 30th.
Oh, yeah.
We have Citizen Sleeper 2, Starward Vector coming to PS5 January 31st. And we have also a bunch coming through on the 28th of January. We have Botany Manor, PS5, PS4. We have Eternal Strands coming to PS5 January 28th. We have Neptunia Riders versus... Dogu's PS5, PS4, January 28th, and we have The Stone of Madness PS5 coming January 28th also. A few games coming out this week.
And Mute asked about, what about Hello Kitty Island Adventure?
It does not come out on PlayStation until later in the year. It's just on Nintendo Switch and PC this week. Sorry.
Yeah, you'll have to wait. We get excited later. Excited by Hello Kitty later in the year.
Yep.
But anyways, that does bring us to the end of the show this week. Quite a quiet one. You know, once again, both you and I have been spending time with a game that we can't talk about. does make it very difficult. But yeah, anyways. All right, well, big thank you everyone for joining us. And Max, you know what to do? Just get out of here.
All right, everybody. This is a very short PlayStation conversation, and it happens every Tuesday morning at 8 a.m. On podcast services, including Apple Podcasts and Spotify, and 9 a.m. on those YouTube. If you'd like to take part in future conversations with us, you can come and check out our socials. Facebook, Discord, Instagram, and X. All of those links can be found in the description below.
Do you want to join the conversation as it happens? Head over to twitch.tv/popcultures. We watch us record this show live, where you can jump in the chat and become part of the show. If you want to support the show, you can tell your friends, tell your family about this Potion Pod. If you are listening to us on podcast services, be sure to give us a 5-star rating and a written review. If you watch us on YouTube, be sure to like, subscribe, and comment. I endeavor to answer every single comment. If you want to support us financially, you can go to patreon.com/thepopcultures, as well as our merchandise store, popcultures.com shop, we can buy shirts, other sort of shit with our logos on it. But until next week, I'm Ryan Betson.
I'm Max Cooper.
And that was For the Players. One thing I did do this weekend, though, Max, is I engaged within the Triple J Hottest 100. Ugh. Now, normally I don't do it because I've always assumed the people that listen to, you know, the people that listen or get actively involved in the Hot 100 are all, you know, wankers. And not everyone. My partner's a big fan. No, it wasn't good. So we started, listened to the full 8 hours, just had it on around the house. Two songs in, my mind was exploded. It's by an artist. What was her name? Doshi. The song was called Nissan Ultima. After the song had played, because when it initially started, and the first 10 seconds is like some of the most hardcore fucking swearing I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, this is incredible. This is ridiculous. And the beat was really tight. And then afterwards, the announcers, the DJs then mentioned that that song had near on 60% of all of the swearing in every song in the top 100 took place in that one song. It had the most uses of C-bomb and possibly the most Fs all in that one song. And it was number 98. So here it is, 12:04 in the afternoon on a Sunday, and it's just like straight swears. It was brilliant. And then I went back and listened to the song. It's exceptional. Then she had another song in the countdown, which was something about delivering, was like her other single. Brilliant. Her whole fucking album is exceptional. It's got such a wide range of influence. You get a lot of like mid-2000s R&B, urban, like a little bit of that Rihanna mixed with like a Destiny's Child. But then you've also got this kind of like Childish Gambino sort of flow song in there. There's a couple of like more harder, what you would call, your more gangster rappy sort of energy, which is very similar to Nissan Ultima. There's got that good pop tune. Like, it's really, in the same way that when I broke down Bad Omen's latest album, and I was like, I can see all the influences that came together to create this album. I can see that here within a hip-hop space, and it's awesome. It's fantastic. And to find an album that my partner, her and I, kind of click with at the same time, we did it with Sleep Token, get to do it with this now, it's brilliant. So there, all those of you playing at home, go listen to Nissan Ultima. It's Altuma, Ultima, by Doshi, or even listen to the whole album, just not when your kid's around. The song rules. It goes so hard. All right, bye, everyone. Mwah.
I realized why the clip is not on my phone.
Why's that?
Not because my phone app is not linked to the fucking Pop-C account, is it?
Oh, of course not. No, that would make sense.
No, of course not, because I'm just a fucking moron, apparently.
That makes sense.
But I've sent it to you.
Oh, sweet. Appreciate it.
So yeah, you'll have to watch on the PlayStation or on the app.
Okay. I'll do that. All right, bye, everyone.
Bye, all.